It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Flynn's not 100% out of the woods yet, but it was a good day for him. The three-judge panel of the D.C. District Court of Appeals ruling 2-1, ordering District Court Judge Devin Sullivan to dismiss the case against Flynn, who surprised many, calling into Rush Limbaugh's show shortly after that news broke.
It's a good thing for me. It's a good thing for my family. But it's really a great boost of confidence for the American people in our justice system. I do not expect it to be over. This is a phase that has ended, and we will go into another phase.
Not surprisingly, the news also welcomed at the White House as President Trump weighed in.
What happened to General Flynn should never happen again in our country. He was persecuted. The Obama administration spied on a campaign. This is just the first one. He's been exonerated, and I want to congratulate him. He's been through a lot.
Now the ball is in Judge Sullivan's hands. He could simply move to dismiss, ending the long legal saga, or it could be appealed in bank, meaning to the full court of appeals. Unclear what comes next. Meanwhile, Flynn's legal team revealing newly uncovered notes, apparently handwritten by disgraced former FBI agent Peter Strzok, suggesting former Vice President Biden and former President Obama played a role in the Flynn probe. The notes, which are shorthand to Messi, identify Biden as VP, Obama as P, and Comey as D, and are believed to have been taken from a January 2017 Oval Office meeting. They show Biden raising the idea of using the Logan Act against Flynn, Obama wanting, quote, the right people to investigate Flynn, and Comey advising the Kislyak calls, quote, appear legit. Flynn's lawyers calling this stunning exculpatory evidence in the government's case. We'll see where it goes.
All right, that was Griff Jenkins this morning, and that really is fabulous news. But it isn't over, as Lieutenant General Flynn said to Rush yesterday on the radio, because the judge in this case could appeal to the entire U.S. Circuit of Court of Appeals court. There were three judges who made this ruling. Two of them ruled that the government, of course, can drop the case, and that the judge Sullivan must drop it. He just has to drop it. That is the law. He can't prosecute. He's a judge, for heaven's sake. He's supposed to hear all the sides and make a judgment based on what he's hearing. And he dropped that long ago and decided that he would prosecute General Flynn when the government decided not to go forward with the prosecution. It really is a stunning display of events. And the D.C. Circuit is a very interesting court because it is the court that hears most everything that happens in federal government. So it's a very important court. It's also kind of like the field team for the United States Supreme Court. And so it's very controversial. It's always the subject of a lot of attention from White Houses. And as a matter of fact, when President Obama was president, Chuck Schumer started complaining about the D.C. Circuit and the fact that they were, you know, too conservative for his taste. And he started suggesting that maybe they should expand the court because the appointments last so long. Expand it and, you know, appoint, you know, the right kind of judges. So that's exactly what Barack Obama did. He expanded the court, I think, by three different seats. He put in leftists that he liked. That was, by the way, one of them that dissented yesterday of the three. It was an Obama appointee on dropping these charges against Flynn, or ordering the judge to stop his nonsense. My words, not theirs. So it's possible, although would not be the normal course of things because it's so straightforward that a judge cannot do what Emmett Sullivan has been doing. But technically speaking, Sullivan could appeal to the entire District Court of Appeals, which might be another huge hurdle for General Flynn, because now after President Obama stacked the court with his own choices, and if the full team has to go now goes and decides to hear the whole thing, which we don't know if they're going to do that or not, then it could be another really bad situation for General Flynn. There are some, you heard Griff say that Sidney Powell, who was the attorney for Michael Flynn, has revealed that there are more what's called exculpatory evidence, which should have been turned over by the FBI, that would have shown that Michael Flynn was wrongly prosecuted. But they didn't, and we didn't know about it till yesterday, and Griff alluded to it. But basically, you remember that meeting that you've heard about where President Trump had been elected, and it was right before he took over in the White House, so that the Obama team, Obamas were still there. The Obama team was still there. They had a meeting January the 5th, and it was James Comey. He went to the White House. He met with Barack Obama, with then Vice President Joe Biden, then Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates, and Susan Rice. And in that little meeting, they said some very interesting things, and now we know more about it, because it looks like Joe Biden was the one who raised... They talked about General Flynn. The FBI had already announced that they couldn't find, there was no evidence that General Flynn was any kind, his call with Kislyak was perfectly normal, and there was no reason to proceed with any kind of an investigation. But, oh, they couldn't let that happen. And so that's when Barack Obama weighed in, and he said that he wanted the best people on this. And Joe Biden spoke up and suggested they use the Logan Act, that act that makes it illegal for a regular citizen to negotiate with foreign governments. It's never been used. It was a ridiculous idea, and yet it was Biden who suggested it, according to Peter Strzok's notes. Now, interestingly enough, you probably know that Joe Biden appeared with George Stephanopoulos on ABC. It hasn't been that long ago, just a few months ago. And this was how that conversation about this, before we knew about these notes, before we know what we know, this is how it went down, clip four.
So what did you know about those moves to investigate Michael Flynn, and was there anything improper done?
I know nothing about those moves to investigate Michael Flynn.
I do want to press that. You say you didn't know anything about it, but you were reported to be at a January 5th, 2017 meeting where you and the president were briefed on the FBI's plan to question Michael Flynn.
I thought you asked me whether or not I had anything to do with him being prosecuted.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was aware that they asked for an investigation, but that's all I know about it.
Yeah. That's all he knows. But now we know that he knew a lot. Actually, he was right there, front and center, in this plot to take down General Flynn, after the FBI had said there's no evidence that he's colluding with the Russians. That's what they said. They were ready to drop everything. But no, can't let that happen. Remember that it was Barack Obama who warned President Trump about General Flynn, warned him, and that he wanted him to get rid of him. He told him that in that transition meeting when he came into the White House. Somehow, General Flynn was really a threat to them. Now, we know why, because General Flynn is the only person, only general, that stood up to President Obama. He actually testified in Congress about what was actually happening on the ground in Afghanistan and Middle East in regard to al-Qaeda and what was being reported by the Obama administration. He said al-Qaeda is not on the run, and that was part of it. He was also the head of Defense National Intelligence, and in that role, he saw all the corruption, and he wanted to clean it out, and that's when the deep state went into hyperdrive and decided that he must be destroyed. There is so much that happened with General Flynn. I think the best thing to do today is for me to point you to an article by Chuck Ross with the Daily Caller, because he tracks all of it. I recognize there are many details. We'll put this article on our Facebook page, which will help you recall all that happened to get us to this point. There's so much other news, I can't spend more time on this, but it's Strzok notes in Michael Flynn case make cryptic reference to Biden and Obama. So that will help you track it. Also, another one by Rowan Scarborough in Washington Times. It's called Sabotage. Obama Administration's Flynn Probe Represents Broader Assault on the Trump Presidency. Both of those really do a great job of laying out what happened in this scandal. And I just recommend that you check that out and also share it, because there's so much news and we need to know this. We need to remember, for the sake of history, we need to remember what happened under Barack Obama, how they tried to undermine and destroy their political opponent by spying on him, by all sorts of illegal methods. And it was a widespread effort among players, whether it's the CIA director or the Jim Clapper. It was just all of them working together, declaring that the elected president was a Russian spy. They said that on network television, and it was just an absolute lie. They were trying to destroy him and undermine him and, of course, get him out of office. And the struggle continues to do that, shall we say. All right, so I want to tell you a little bit about what's happening with these statues. You know that yesterday we talked about the fact that in Madison, Wisconsin, they tore down statues and assaulted a state senator, a Democratic state senator. And maybe if you saw the pictures, he was actually found, you know, like nearly unconscious, lying in the grass. And then you see another picture of him on his knees by his car. And they attacked him because he was merely trying to take a picture. You can actually see the moment that they come at him because he's talking as he's taking a picture. It's just amazing. He said, I just want to take a picture. And, man, they come after him with a vengeance. So, interestingly enough, the Democratic governor, Tony Evers, at that time when these statues were torn down, and it was a statue of an abolitionist that they tore down, beheaded and threw in the lake. They also attacked the state offices there. They did a lot of destruction. And I guess the governor decided that was okay, maybe until he found out that there was a Democratic rep who was beaten up in the process. And so now he's called in the National Guard in Wisconsin, and I'm sure that's a something to be grateful for. It is. Tony Evers is a real radical leftist. He's part of the education program. He was the director of education in Wisconsin, and he, So it's a very different world in Wisconsin right now. They're always, you know, doing yin and yang. They have the really conservative people in Wisconsin, you know, salt of the earth, and then they have the radical leftist, and they've had to coexist for years, and you see how that's turning out. And by the way, in regard to the statues, at 7 o'clock tonight, the Black Lives Matter group has declared they're going to tear down the Emancipation Memorial in D.C. And that's a statue of Abraham Lincoln holding out his hands with a black slave down beside him. That's very offensive to them. By the way, that statue was dedicated with Frederick Douglass, who was probably the first well-known black intellectual after slavery was abolished. And he actually was in the White House a lot with Abraham Lincoln, having conversations. And he was there at the dedication. It was very meaningful. And you may or may not know that black slaves at the end of the Civil War loved Abraham Lincoln. They were so grateful to him. That's why so many came to live. I think they felt they wanted to be near. They associated the District of Columbia with President Lincoln and with the freeing of the slaves. And so it was a very different world then. That's why probably almost all black American citizens were Republicans for generations up until the Civil Rights Movement. And so so they want to tear that down tonight at 7 o'clock, but now we know that the National Guard has been called out in Washington. Also, some people that I know are going to go tonight. So if you're in Virginia or the District of Columbia, you might want to go and just, why not just be there? I mean, if thousands and thousands of you showed up, it would be a very interesting visual, wouldn't it? With this ragtag group of Black Lives Matter, violent though they are, there are not many of them. If thousands of Americans showed up and said, no, not doing that, it would be a really good thing. So I'm just mentioning that so in case, on the outside chance that you would be one of those people that would be willing to do that. By the way, in South Dakota, Governor Kristi Noem has vowed to protect Mount Rushmore. She said, we will not stand for radical rewriting of history. Not on my watch, that's what she said. So she calls them the woke historical revisionist priesthood. Go Kristi. And she has turned into a really fine governor. She was in Congress for a while, and I'm just being personal with you. I wasn't crazy about the things that she did and said. She seemed to move with leadership a little bit too much for my taste, but she's been knocking it out of the ballpark since she's become governor. Oh, there's so much to tell you. So I have to take a break, but we are going to open the phone lines today, but not yet. So stay tuned. All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Every day, babies in their mother's wombs are fighting for life. with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm going to go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
I came seeking termination, but once I got here and I took an ultrasound, I was overjoyed when I found out that I was having three baby boys.
Preborn's mission is to help save babies' lives and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it too. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by May 30th, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. It's time to stop calling what's happening in America the cancel culture. It's fascism, flat-out fascism, and it's happening at a breathtaking pace. Statues toppled, books and movies banned, names changed. In South Carolina, a statue of former Vice President John Calhoun was taken down. Lawmakers also want to remove a statue of Abraham Lincoln in Washington, D.C. Abraham Lincoln! Thousands have signed a petition calling for Columbus, Ohio to be renamed, and the mayor of the Buckeye State's capital city has already removed a statue of Christopher Columbus. Rhode Island is about to undergo a name change, too. Our tiny estate, officially known as the State of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. Of course, most folks had just assumed their state was named Rhode Island, so in effect, Rhode Island is changing its name to Rhode Island. So here's an interesting news nugget. America's most liberal city is actually named after a slave owner. Bought known slaves at his Rhode Island plantation. That man's name, George Berkeley. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
When Speaker Pelosi says, one of the most heinous things I can imagine, that the Republicans are actually trying to cover up murder, the murder of George Floyd, with our legislation. That's not politics. She knows that she can say that because the Democrats have a monopoly on the black vote. And no matter the loyalty of the people, the return they get will always continue to go down, because in monopolies, you start devaluing your customer. And by the way, when this bill is gone, people will forget about it. And you know what's gonna happen? Something bad. And we'll be right back here talking about what should have been done, what could have been done, why we must act now.
That was Senator Tim Scott yesterday when the Senate was blocked by Kamala Harris from passing the police reform bill that Tim Scott's been working on. And in that bill, they included making lynching a federal hate crime. They wanted to incentivize banning chokeholds, provide more de-escalation training, launch two commissions to study inequality, and that was just some of what they were proposing. But the Democrats weren't having it, and Kamala Harris Isn't Kamala Indian? Isn't she? I think she's Indian American. I think she's half Indian and half black. Anyway, but of course she's, you know, all in because I don't think she cares. Okay, I'm being facetious. I don't think Kamala, you know, is all into the black movement, but it serves her well. And so they stopped it. They stopped it. Nancy Pelosi, as Senator Scott just alluded to, is accusing the Republicans trying to get away with murder, actually, the murder of George Floyd. That's what she said about them. She called Tim Scott's efforts do this police reform a token approach, which Senator Scott took very offensively because token is the term used to using black people to advance whatever cause and not accusing people of not being serious about the cause and using blacks as tokens. And that's why he was so offended with that. So it crashed and burned, and there will be none because the Democratic proposal in the House is a radical federal takeover of police. And you can only imagine, since they are happily embracing the Black Lives Matter movement and all the radical elements, what their bill looks like. It looks like it was written by Black Lives Matter. And maybe, okay, I'm overstating, because they don't say they want to abolish the police. They just want to prevent them from actually doing anything. Here's an interesting poll that just came out from Rasmussen. And it says that 64% of Americans polled here worry about police shortages and public safety. And in that breakdown, it turns out that Black Americans are worried the most. I'll give you a little bit of a taste of this. 63% of American adults still regard police, being a police officer, as one of the most important jobs in the country. 26% disagree, and 11% aren't sure. 64% of those polled are concerned that the growing criticism of America's police will lead to a shortage of police officers and reduce public safety in the community where they live. Blacks, 67% of them are most concerned about public safety where they live, compared to 63% of whites and 65% of other minority Americans. I can tell you, you know, it's hard to fathom. But for instance, my experience is, again, from being from Chicago and having a national drive time show in Chicago where there are people of every color and race and a lot of black people from the South Side, and the shootings and killings are just incredible, and it's like living in a war zone. And you really don't know when you send your kids out each morning. Even if they're sleeping in their bed, sometimes the bullets make it through the house and kill them. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And yet the Democratic leadership, I'll just pick on Chicago, in Chicago, don't seem to care about that. They don't really care about black lives. They really don't. They want to use black, as much as it's bodies and people to vote for them. And that's the circumstance. And that's why black citizens that are rational, and most of them are, 67%, I think, are pretty rational, according to this survey, are concerned about public safety where they live, and rightfully so. They don't want police abolished. So I just thought I would share that with you because I think that's a reality check. And so what we're seeing, you know, happen in our streets, this Black Lives Matter movement, which I told you is they've stolen a phrase that is true, and they're using it for their own purposes, and their purposes are wicked. They are socialists, communists. We played a clip for you of one of the founders, Patrice, just yesterday, I think, or the day before, where she openly admits that she is a trained communist organizer. That's what Barack Obama was, too. He just never used the word communist. When he said he was an organizer, that's a term, an Alinsky, Saul Alinsky term, that means they're organizing the community because that's part of the language and that's part of what they do. They learn how to organize and how to activate people and turn people against each other. That's part of what they do. Barack Obama was expert. And so Black Lives Matter, of course, is in the thick of all of this. And last night, Martha McCallum had the head of Black Lives Matter in New York. His name is Hawk Newsom. And I wanted you to hear just a little bit of their exchange. Let's listen. Clip 5.
people watch what you say in that video, that you want to now shove legislation down people's throats now that you have everyone's attention. And you also have called, said that violence is sometimes necessary in these situations. What exactly is it that you hope to achieve through violence?
Wow. It's interesting that you would pose that question like that, because this country is built upon violence. What was the American Revolution? Mm-hmm. What's our diplomacy across the globe? We go in and we blow up countries and we replace their leaders with leaders who we like. So for any American to accuse us of being violent, it's extremely hypocritical. Now, when we talk about
violence, we use self-defense.
Why are you screaming and not allowing me to talk, ma'am?
Because
you asked me a question, allow me to answer. I'm in the process of answering, and I won't be that much longer.
I'm listening.
Okay? You asked what we hope to achieve. We're talking about self-defense. We're talking about four or five police officers choking someone to death and someone from the community having the training to intervene effectively. We're talking about saving lives. Nobody's talking about ambushing police officers. We're talking about protecting lives. And there's nothing more American than that. And when we talk about uplifting and upholding the Second Amendment, I think that you should be applauding me, seeing as though you guys are huge supporters of the Second Amendment. But it seems to be the hypocrisy of America that when black people start talking about arming themselves and defending themselves, the talk is violence. But when white people grab assault rifles and go to our nation's, their state's capitals, it's all good.
Yeah. So you see from that how well-trained Hawk Newsom is in the language of the left. He spends about 6 minutes with her. And at the end, it was very interesting to me because he's claiming, of course, to want to say Black Lives. But we know that that's not the manifesto of Black Lives Matter. They start out with that. It's kind of like, it's like using the phrase Black Lives Matter as their moniker when they demonstrate that actual Black lives, the wrong Black lives, don't matter at all. Remember what happened in Seattle? What, three, at least two black men shot in Chop, in that little area of Seattle that they've taken over. It wasn't so important. In fact, they wouldn't let the police in to the medics in to care for this black man that had been shot. So, you know, not real concerned about black lives, except if black men or people are shot by police, then they use that. They use that as a way to whip up. It plays on natural anger, but they use it to their ends, and their ends is not the end of the black community. In fact, we've seen a lot of video I've played for you where on the streets, as we were seeing these protests erupt, we'd see black I remember one black young girl, for instance, and she's going up and she's so impassioned. There's a white propagandist person, I don't know, you know, on a Starbucks painting Black Lives Matter. And the young black girl says, "What are you doing this? Why are you doing? Don't do that. Don't do that. You're stealing our issue. This is not your fight. And they're going to blame us. They're going to blame us. Don't you know? They're going to go after black young men because you're doing that. Stop doing that." And of course, the protester completely ignored her. And we see that also in some, both of those girls were protesters. So I can't say that they were totally innocent, but we've seen bystanders in the black community say, "Why are you doing this? Stop this." I saw an older black gentleman, and he said to the young guys, he said, "Look, I was raised in poverty too. I really came up, but don't stop this. This is not what you should be doing." I think people are pretty clear. Robert, actually, BET founder Robert Johnson weighed in a little bit last night, and I thought it would be interesting for you to hear what he had to say. This is clip 7.
You know, black people, in my opinion, black people laugh at white people who do this. The same way we laugh at white people who say, "We got to take off the TV shows." Look, the people who are basically tearing down statues, trying to make a statement, are basically borderline anarchists, the way I look at it. They really have no agenda other than the idea we're going to topple a statue because what? It's not going to close the wealth gap. It's not going to take people off welfare or food stamps.
Well, that may be true of some people, some ordinary black citizens out on the street marching out of their own passion for their community. But it's certainly not true of Black Lives Matter and their leadership, because they know exactly what they're doing. And part of what they want to do is support transgender black women. They say that in their manifesto. That's very important to them. They want to advocate for their rights, and they want to destroy the natural family. They want to, they're very intent on, they want children to be raised in daycare. They want to completely deconstruct this world. They want to just take, they want to eliminate police. They want to open up the prisons. All those are just some of the things. Just to give you an idea, they are a Marxist organization. And as I started to say, I don't think I finished my sentence, Hawk Newsom, yes, I think I did, at the end of his interview with Martha, said, we want to do this by any means necessary. By any means necessary is a communist phrase. That means whatever it takes. Kill, destroy, burn, you know, lie, cheat, whatever, overpower, intimidate, extort, whatever. Whatever it takes, by any means necessary, that's what they do. If you hear someone say that, that's a code word for the leftist movement. I want to tell you something else about Black Lives Matter that I learned in the last few hours here. Black Lives Matter is being run by BlackLivesMatter.com, okay? Now, it doesn't have a legal, it is not structured legally. So, and I don't mean it's illegal. I just mean they don't have a, like a funding. They don't have a president, a CEO. They've not registered as kind of an entity. But it is fiscally sponsored by a nonprofit called 1,000 Currents. So the group handling the money and paying the salaries is 1,000 Currents. So now we know a little bit more about 1,000 Currents. And that would be, thanks to Capital Research Center, Scott Walter, who's been our guest many times, that they are learning that the group's vice chair, 1,000 Currents vice chair, is a woman who was part of the Weather Underground. She is a radical, radical communist socialist, Susan Rosenberg. She was along with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn back in the 60s and 70s. She's the vice chair. She started her terrorism career with the old Weather Underground, but they weren't, this is, I'm just reading, they weren't crazy enough for her, so she and some fellow lesbian Marxist-Leninists started their own ladies' terrorism group and were thrown into jail after being caught with hundreds of pounds of stolen dynamite. They loved Ho Chi Minh. Their group name was an affectionate nod to his birthday and were best known at the time for Vietnam activism, but they also worked to boost extremist black groups, kill cops, and they even managed to bomb the U.S. Capitol and damage a portrait of the greatest democratic slavery defender of all time, John Calhoun. They were college-educated white women, but they... So you see, this is not new. And so her name is Susan Rosenberg. She spent a lot of time in jail, and guess who freed her? It was Bill Clinton. As he was going out of office, he let her out of jail. And the other person that cheered that on, I think, was... let's see. There was someone else who... Gerald Nadler was all in to letting her out of jail. So she got out of jail, and now she's the vice chair of this 1,000 Currents, who is the funding or the fiscally sponsored group over Black Lives Matter. Do not think for a minute that this is an innocent group who has something good in store for this country. They are wicked beyond measure. They want to destroy everything. For those of you that are black and white and brown, whatever your color, you're immigrants to this country and you love it and you came here because you wanted to be part of it. They are trying to destroy capitalism. They want crime to be on the streets because that would give them power. They want everybody to be afraid of them so that they control them. They want you on your knees reciting and chanting and repenting for your white privilege. This is a Marxist totalitarian movement, and that is a tactic of the Marxist totalitarian left. So do not do that. Do not do that. And by the way, today I just got this in my inbox. The House Freedom Caucus is holding a press conference this afternoon at 3:30. And I can tell you what they're going to do. This is like the preview you're getting that maybe most people are not going to get. I don't know if it's in the news or yet not. But they're going to use a RICO statute, which is what the government uses to go after gangsters, to go after leaders of what they're calling the nationwide Marxist crime wave. That's going to happen this afternoon at 3:30, and so you'll hear more about it in the news today. But and the Justice Department is arresting people around various cities. Seattle is being cleaned up. I don't know. They're getting the Black Lives Matter group out of that plaza. And so there are good things happening. Okay, now let's open the phone lines because I want to hear from you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Right back after this.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. What is the proper role of government? Romans chapter 13 outlines government's function, and it is basically this: to restrain or to punish wickedness and to reward righteousness. Government was never intended to be our savior. Government is our servant. As we focus on our civil occupations and our civic engagement responsibilities, let us never forget that government is not our God. We don't put our trust in it. We put our trust in our Christ. As a result, what we want is a government that stays out of our way and leaves room for our church to do our business of fulfilling the Great Commission.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. Regressives are now arguing that statues of Jesus should be torn down and stained glass windows bearing his image should be destroyed. This at last reveals what the left is really all about. Regressives today have a deep-seated, demonically inspired hatred of Christianity. They hate everything about it, from its celebration of Jesus as the Savior of mankind, to its insistence that we are all sinners, to its declaration that marriage is the union of one man and one woman, and to its declaration that there are only two genders, male and female. We are right now in a battle for the survival of Christian civilization. The left wants to remove Christianity from America's public life altogether. If we want a future for our children and grandchildren, we cannot let them get away with it.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A defining issue for our time is the fact that the Chinese Communist Party is our enemy. For example, the CCP has been waging unrestricted warfare on this country for decades, with devastating effects for our economy, industrial base, middle class, and national security. The virus the CCP deliberately unleashed on us has killed over 100,000 Americans so far, with no end in sight, etc., etc. Yet, despite such evidence, we continue to allow the communist Chinese to underwrite such activities by tapping our capital markets for trillions of dollars. On Monday, our Committee on the Present Danger of China warned Senate leaders that Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Jay Clayton has been an enabler of that lunacy. We need to end, not perpetuate, this practice, and remove, not promote, those who think we can safely do otherwise. This is Frank Gaffney. Learn more at presentdangerchina.org.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, Sandy Rios, back with you. I want a couple of one other thing I want to mention to you before we go to the phone lines. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. This was on the Fox homepage today. U.S. coronavirus deaths projected to reach 180,000 by October. You know, you guys calculate for me. I didn't. 300 million. What percentage is 180,000 to 300 million? Devin, can you figure that out for me and tell me in a second? I didn't do that before I started talking about this. But here's the thing. This, please hear me when I tell you that you are being manipulated. This is the truth. I was going to play a clip by Casey Stegall from Fox yesterday, but I don't have time. But he basically says, hospitalizations are up, the hospitals are filled, the emergency rooms and blah, 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 blah. Could I just tell you, that is not because of COVID. That's because the hospitals have been virtually empty. People were not allowed to go to the hospitals unless they had COVID. Surgeries, heart problems, cancer treatments, everything. The hospitals, they're filled up, and that's good. The hospitals need to be filled up because they've missed a ton of revenue, and many of them were threatened, were concerned about going under. Casey does not say in his report because of COVID. You notice he just loops it in with the report of more cases, more infections of COVID. Now look, the cases of COVID, the more infections is because of more testing. Doesn't that make sense? If you have a room of 100 people and you only test one of them, then you wouldn't have a lot of cases. But if you test all 100 of them, you might find more people with it. But cases don't mean anything, really. It basically means that herd immunity is working. That means a lot more of us are carrying the virus. We carry all kinds of stuff in our body. You think this is the only thing you carry? It doesn't mean you get it. It doesn't mean you get sick. It doesn't mean you transmit it. It doesn't mean any of that. It can mean it, but it doesn't for the most part. Very few people are sick, and fewer people are dying. The death rates are going way down. But yeah, there are more people are testing, and more people are testing positive, but that doesn't mean they're sick. But we're being played, and you need to know that. And the reason I think, I don't know that everybody that's reporting this understands, but I understand, because they don't want you to vote in November. They want you to stay home. Or, do mail-in balloting because they can control mail-in balloting. And they're trying to get Donald Trump out of office. So I'm not saying every person involved in this does, but they are. And I have to say one more thing. There was a video that I just watched. It was an hour and 15 minutes. It's a nurse who was on duty in Elmhurst Hospital. She went there to volunteer. She was a nurse in Florida, and she went up because she saw how bad things were in New York City. And in this video, she talks about what was actually happening there. And it is so gripping and upsetting, and it should be all over the headlines. But basically, she said healthy people were walking into those hospitals, and they were actually being killed because of being placed on these ventilators and the lack of supervision and experimental things taking place and giving them way too many drugs. And she said they literally killed people. And by the end of the hour, she was weeping about a young man, 36, who came into the hospital perfectly healthy and was put on a ventilator and given dosages of drugs that actually ended up killing him. And she said that was typical. She said they're killing people. And that's probably why New York had such incredible numbers, plus the fact that Cuomo was sending COVID-positive patients, forcing nursing homes to take COVID-positive residents. And that's why the nursing homes had incredible death rates. The nurse says a lot more than that. We'll put the link to her video on our Facebook page, and you can watch it. Just be prepared to get your Kleenex. But you do need to know, as hard as it is to watch, you do need to know. All right, I got to go to the phones, and I want to go to the phones. Let's go to Lori in Oklahoma. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just wanted to talk to you. I so appreciate the fact that you are bringing light and truth and understanding to the propaganda that's being used to manipulate people to the lies that are going through social media and through the internet. I recently encountered one from a sister in the Lord on Facebook who basically reposted an article on her Facebook page about how pro-life people, and this is a complete, utter attack on pro-life people for having no voice and being utterly silent about the death of children at the border. And it was just a slam and an attack on pro-life people. And as we know, most pro-life people are believers. And I just was so insulted when I saw that. And backstory, I work for an organization that fights human trafficking. And so when I'm not working my day job, after I get off, I'm working for an organization that teaches people and trains people how to identify human trafficking, how our children are targeted, how young people are targeted. We touch on how pornography is connected to human trafficking, and that is what I do. And so I tried to equate to them, because I don't jump on the pink ribbon campaign to fight breast cancer does not mean that I personally don't care about people suffering from breast cancer. But my calling is to fight human trafficking. Therefore, my time, my energy, and my effectiveness is committed to that. And I basically, you know, call them out. Maybe one could say passively rebuke them for having this attack on their fellow brothers and sisters. And no sooner than I finished writing my comment, I scrolled through my page, and there was the activist mommy addressing human trafficking.
Well, Lori, let me just say that there's a lot of nonsense going on social media, and we have to be so careful. And I have to say one thing for one thing. And I'm not ready to make a declaration about this, but I would say for those of you that are really involved and on Facebook all the time, just beware. I just can't believe that that can be in the end healthy. And one thing where it gets unhealthy, Lori, thanks a lot. I appreciate your comments and your hard work. Sometimes when you get obsessed, I guess that's the thing, when you can't leave it alone, when you keep having to check it, or when it kind of takes over your life, and it couldn't be that even the content is not the important thing, it's the obsession with it. Just be careful, and it is molding your mind. It is, you know, it also, I think, this is a discussion for another day, but it can make you very self-centric. You know, this little kingdom, you have your Facebook page and all, you know, I think it kind of oversizes our lives. And maybe sometimes we're not living life. We're busy posting pictures rather than actually living. And so just a caution. But into the issue of social media, I want to tell you that tomorrow is going to be a big a walkout on Twitter. For those of you that do Twitter, I know a lot of you do not. I'm on Twitter, at Sandy Rios Tweet is my Twitter handle. I don't say that often enough. But actually tomorrow, many conservatives are going to abandon Twitter and go to Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. We're trying to persuade the president to do the same thing, because Twitter is censoring so many things that he is tweeting, and we're trying to get all of his people to move to Parler. So it's just a demonstration tomorrow, because I think there aren't enough people on Parler yet, although it's growing, to substitute for Twitter. So for the time being, we need to be on both platforms until we can make full transition and just abandon Twitter altogether. So I wanted you to know that Parler is P-A-R-L-E-R, and you can look for it. All right, let me go to Vaughn in Tennessee. Good morning, Vaughn.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering if you could enlighten the audience about any possible connections between the Chinese Communist Party and Black Lives Matter. I can't imagine that they're ignoring this huge Marxist movement in our country and not supporting it.
Well, Vaughn, the best reports that I have is that, of course, they're right in the center of all of this. One specific thing I can tell you, I can't recall if I mentioned it on the air, but early on, when the first time the protesters got so violent in front of the White House, it's been, 10 days ago? It's something like that. In the video, you were able to see and hear some Chinese people participating. They were in masks, but someone that was Chinese and spoke Mandarin heard it and recorded it and said there are this Mandarin being spoken here. So that's the one direct connection that I can make for you. But we do know that the Chinese communists are absolutely, they've been working through our universities now for a decade or two with these Confucius centers and other ways they've been infiltrating. Actually, FBI Director Ray was on with Brett Baer last night. If you guys are interested, he talks about that a little bit. Yes, China, I need to revisit that whole topic. But yes, you can take it to the bank, Vaughn, of that they are involved, because they're all Marxists and they work together. So thanks for bringing that up. Let's go to Bobby in Texas. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning.
So what's on your mind, Bobby?
Well, I was wanting to let you know, back in October, I felt like my little daughter and my wife and I, we all got sick one after another. I feel like this Wuhan virus has been around probably since then, because they could never tell us that we had the flu.
Well, I think some people are actually saying that, Bobby. I can't say yes or no, but there has been speculation about that. And also, the interesting thing is the cases, the flu for this season has been way down. Not for some ironic reason, not many people have had the flu this season, but they've all had coronavirus. So there's a lot of chicanery going on. And I can't speak to your personal situation, but you might be right about that, Bobby. Thank you. Let's go to Lee in Texas. Good morning. What's on your mind, Lee?
Yes, I'd like to speak about last night on the news about that Black Lives leader in New York. He spoke a lot about different things, but what caught my attention was when he spoke about the color of Jesus Christ and that he was a Christian. When I go into the inner city in Austin, I normally speak to a lot of African Americans, and I did have the opportunity to speak to quite a few people that believe more in the color of what Jesus Christ was or what he came to do. And I ended up, after speaking to them for about 15 or 20 minutes, and tell them, look around you. Do you really think the people around here care what color Jesus is? They're lost of hope, and they need hope, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ. And when he said that, I just brought my attention, and I'm wondering how many people think like that?
Well,
how many people are more in the belief in the color than what Christ came to do?
It's a very good point, Lee, and if I had the time, I have that clip. Hawk Newsom was with Martha last night, and he talked about how he loved, I think he said, my Lord and Savior, Jesus, and then he talked about how black he was, and that it goes on to say that people always want to kill black men, and Jesus was killed, just like it started out being convincing, and then it ended up being very bizarre and all about blackness. And it's a point, I think, Lee, that my black friends brought to my attention years ago when I was on the air in Chicago, that there is and it happens to all of us, could I say, people get so obsessed with a certain issue that it colors their faith. You know that happens. And so in many cases, blackness trumps Christianity. And certainly now, I think Hawk Newsom is a manipulator. He knows exactly what he's saying. But I do think that in the black community abroad, in general, because of the circumstances and the experience they've had, they could easily make that the important thing in their lives, that the color of Jesus. And Lee, are you a street preacher, or are you you're in full-time ministry, are you?
No, I'm not in full-time ministry, but I do spend a lot of time out on the streets. But I just wanted to say on that speaking to them as a Hispanic, they were looking at me like, yeah, you're in for the cause. You should be. You know, we're all together. We're united against the white. And I, you know, they had me pretty much against the wall. And I was like, no, I refuse to believe that. You know, I refuse to accept that. You know, that's not why Christ came. I said, we're ambassadors of Christ. We're about reconciling, not about dividing. And when I heard him last night, I said, that's nothing but division.
Well, and that's exactly, yes, Lee, isn't that interesting that you came to that just by your own observation? Because that is actually, honestly, the written purpose and method of the Marxists, and that is to divide people, to find a problem, a potential problem, to make it worse, to stir up trouble, and turn people against each other, and that's how they come in and take power. So you're seeing it. You saw it with your own eyes on the street. You saw it, and you know intuitively, because you're a man of God, you know what's happening, but you probably didn't know that was part of their method. So keep preaching, brother, and keep courage. We need people like you to wake up and understand so that we can make this case to all of our brothers and sisters, and to the nation at large. Lee, thanks so much. Thank you all for listening. I'm sorry I could not get to all the calls as usual, but tomorrow we have a great show. We're going to be talking to a professor from Cornell who is under fire for his remarks about Black Lives Matter. It's pretty incredible. I don't think you'll want to miss it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.